chapter number 5, beginning in verse 25. Now, Mark 5 is filled with the activity of God's grace working miracles in all those who Jesus encounters. It's a wonderful chapter of the Word of God. Matter of fact, if you drop back into chapter 4, you find one miracle after another. And it's from chapter 4 towards the end of the chapter all the way through the end of chapter number 5. It's just packed with miracles and experiences people have with God and life-changing events that people have when they encounter the Lord Jesus Christ. And when you come in contact with the Lord Jesus, it will forever change your life as well. It'll make all the difference in the world. Now, you might meet the president and it not change your life. Matter of fact, I don't know. I have a feeling, despite the office and how much I respect that office, I have a feeling that I wouldn't just be terribly motivated by meeting the man who fills that office at this point. Matter of fact, I'm fairly certain he wouldn't be motivated to meet me. Amen. But friend, you may meet people who are well known, who are famous, if you will, or who are prominent in this world, and it not change your life at all. I mean, really don't make a bit of difference in your everyday life. But when you meet this man called Jesus, it changes you forever. I mean, friend, you're never the same again after the Lord comes on the scene in your life. We see it time and again in these chapters, in chapter 4 through 6 of the book of Mark, and we're reading about one of those encounters this morning. Beginning in verse 25, the word of the Lord says, "And a certain woman which had an issue of blood 12 years." And by the way, I want to mention this at least as we're passing by. I'm thankful that it didn't say perhaps a woman or by chance a woman, but it said a certain woman. That is, the Lord knew exactly who she was. He pointed her out specifically. Did you know you're not just a number? You're not just one of the crowd. You're not just, my friend, a member of some demographic or group to the Lord. That you're an individual that He cares about and that He loves and that He recognizes individually, and He wants to deal with your heart personally. He recognized her as a certain woman. Amen. And verse 26 said, "And she had suffered many things of many physicians and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. And when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched His garment, for she said, 'If I may but touch His clothes, I shall be made whole.' And straightway," that is, immediately, "the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt it in her body that she was healed of that plague." And Jesus, immediately knowing in Himself that virtue had gone out of Him, turned Him about in the press and said, "Who touched my clothes?" And His disciples said unto Him, "Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, 'Who touched me?' Why would you ask such a question?" All this crowd around you, why, there may be 100 people that could answer that question, "Who touched your clothes?" There might be 100 people who could say, "It was me. I'm the one who touched His clothes." Oh, but there was one that did answer. Amen. And He looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before Him and told Him all the truth. And He said unto her, "Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague." You can be seated this morning. Thank you for standing with us while we read the Word of the Lord. Now, right here in chapter 5 of the book of Mark, Jairus, a leader of the local synagogue, had sought the help of the Lord for his daughter and sought the power of God and pled after the power of the Lord, who was sick, and his daughter was sick unto death, and
and sandwiched in between Jairus' plea for help and the Lord's power to raise his daughter from the dead is this woman with the bleeding condition. For 12 years she had continued to lose blood and to lose strength, and she lost finances, and I believe she had just about lost hope. As she was dying, she was depressed, as she was desperate, that she was determined, and by the end of this account, as she was delivered, amen, as she had given up getting any help from any person on earth, that she believed Jesus could help her. And I'm interested in verse number 30, when she has come and touched him, and then Jesus said, "Who touched my clothes?" And the disciples asked him, "What kind of question is this that you could ask this? I mean, a friend, who in the world would think such a thing? There's a crowd around you so large, if anybody here could say yes, it was me. Anybody here could say yes, I touched Jesus. Anybody here could say I'm the one that touched your clothes." But in verse number 32, and Jesus looked right at her. And in verse 33, she told him all the truth. What Jesus was thinking after was for this woman to testify before all of them what God had done for her. And may I say this, friend, anybody in that crowd could have testified. Anybody around there could have said, "Yes, I touched Jesus' clothes, and this is what Jesus has done for me." And no doubt these apostles and disciples that are asking that question in verse 31 could have said, "I touched your clothes. Let me tell everybody what Jesus did for me." But there was one in the crowd who told him all the truth. There was one who testified. There was one who told others what Jesus did for her. It seems oftentimes like we're much like this woman, and maybe others in that crowd there that day as well. The Lord has done something wonderful for us, and in us, and to us, and He wants us to tell it. Amen. But for some reason, we are unwilling to testify. I'm asking the question today and preach it on. Why won't somebody testify? Why won't somebody testify? Back a couple of years ago, I was coming back from Macon, and I got from there to a truck stop in around Jackson, and my phone rang, and I was fumbling around trying to get my phone out of the holster, and I dropped it in the toilet. Now that's terrible, isn't it? I found out that cell phones don't like that. I know more than what you or me would like it. I mean, it shut down on me, and I never could get it to work again. And Sister Charity and Brother Matthew gave me a telephone, though. And I went and got it turned on to replace that one that had drowned. And on the phone that they gave me, there was a couple of songs recorded of Bethany and Hannah and Brianna singing. And one of them is, "Somebody Ought to Testify." Somebody ought to testify. "For God I Live," or "For God I'll Die." Somebody ought to testify. And I'll say, friend, that's the way it ought to be when you get around to where God's people are. Somebody ought to testify. If you know what it is to be dying and desperate and depressed and determined to reach Jesus, if you know what it is to be delivered, if you know what it is to be different, if you know what it is to have in your heart, if you know what it is for the fountain of your disease to be dried up and all your guilt to be rolled away, you ought to testify of it. Amen. If you remember the day when you were born again, as they say, if you have not forgotten what Jesus has done for you. If you've learned that He's just exactly what you need, you ought to testify of it. Amen. You ought to tell somebody what Jesus has done for you. Sometimes I don't testify words. Sometimes it's just simply raising my hand. Sometimes, friend, I don't testify with words. That's just the way that I live my life. That others would see Christ in me. And sometimes I testify with words. Amen. I'm telling you, but however you testify, it's time somebody would testify and tell the world, yes, I touched Him. Yes, He touched me. Yes, there's a difference in my life. It's me He's talking about. It's me He's looking at. It's me He's made a difference in. It's my life that's different now. I know Him and He knows me. And He did a wonderful thing in my life. Amen. Why don't somebody testify? When I was a kid, it seemed like we had testimonies at every meeting, Brother Bob. I mean, that crowd around that little white sideboard at Methodist Church I grew up in and testify. I mean, they knew how to testify. I mean, there wasn't a whole lot of deep doctrine priests. A lot of folks there couldn't read the name in boxcar letters. My friends, some of them couldn't read music. Others couldn't sing. Charlie Shirley could sing and he could play the guitar, but he couldn't do them at the same speed. He played fast and sang slow all at the same time. I mean, there's a lot of things they didn't have down and couldn't do, friend, but they knew how to testify. And there's very few meetings went by that somebody or several somebodies or 10 or 11 somebodies that didn't testify. Amen. Oh, and friend, listen, I can tell you what an awful lot of their testimonies were, because there's some of them every time they testified was going to say just about the same thing. And you know what? Somehow or another, I didn't get tired of that. I never grew old hearing W.B. Gray tell how God has saved him out in the barn down by the haystack. I never grew tired of my friend of hearing him testify of the grace of God that is manifested in their lives. I never got tired of watching Jimmy Milline shout and praise God and say, oh, what a Savior is mine. I mean, friend, hey, somebody ought to testify. And oftentimes, we're like this crowd gathered around. We're where Jesus is. He's touching us. We're touching Him. He's asking, have I touched anybody? Would you tell somebody about it? And everybody's sitting on their hands. And nobody will testify. When, if nothing else, we ought to raise our hand up and say, it's me who touched me. It is me who touched me. It is me who is it that received power. It is me who got saved. It is me. Amen. I'm not ashamed this morning to be identified with Him. And I'm glad I've touched Him.
Amen. Mama. And I knew everybody that I knew as a boy growing up, I knew how they came to know Jesus. I mean, they'd tell it. I wonder, does everybody you know how you came to know Jesus? I wonder, does everybody you know your experience with Christ? Does everybody you know your experience with coming to know the Lord, walking with God, your experience of fellowship with the Lord? I mean, hey, I like what Eddie Denson says. Said, if everybody don't know your testimony, it's because you ain't been telling it enough. Amen. And you need to testify and tell folks. I mean, friend, hey, I don't ever get tired of it. I've had folks, I've told it so much that I have people on the day that I got saved. I have people every year on that day of the year, 25th of June, that'll send me text messages and birthday cards and so forth, because they remember I've told it so much. But I'll tell you, friend, you may not know my daddy to this day. He couldn't tell you the date. He couldn't tell you the date that he was when he got saved. He just knows it's when he was a 9-year-old boy during summer revival meeting in August.
at Union Hill Church where the Lord saved him. Out there in the back seat of an Oldsmobile while church was going on. My granddaddy looked around and saw that Dad wasn't in the church service. And he looked and didn't come back. Thought, well, maybe he's gone down to the outhouse. Which would get you in trouble, by the way, because you wasn't supposed to leave no matter how long the service went. You're supposed to just sit there till you bust. And he thought, well, he's run down to the outhouse. That boy better be sick if he's done gone to the outhouse in the middle of church, or else he's going to really get it when we get home. And finally, he never did come back. End of the service, time rolled on. My granddaddy went outside. He wasn't down there. He went and looked around behind the church in the dark and couldn't find him. Kept hollering for him. Looked over there and saw the light, a dome light on in the old Oldsmobile. Went over there where it was in the back seat of some kind. At the back of a door was open. My dad, 9-year-old, was in there in that back seat. My granddad reached in, how frustrated and upset. Go snatch him out and just wear him out. Don't come sit out here in the car. I've tried to have church. I've told him a thousand times to sit and listen to the preacher. When he reached in to snatch him out, my daddy said, don't whoop me now, Daddy. I just had to get by myself somewhere or another. I needed to be saved. I needed God to come in my life. And instead, they shouted around the parking lot. I remember my great-grandma telling me how she got born again as a 22-year-old preacher's wife. Out behind the potato shed. Or as she called it, the tater shed. And my friend at 2:30, 3 o'clock in the morning. And she testified and tell me about it. I wonder, friend, why won't somebody testify and say, yes, it is me. Yes, he touched me. Yes, he saved me. He put me in his family. And I'm so glad I'm here.
Amen. Oh, my. Everybody in the building that's saved this morning by grace can look back at a time in your life and relate to what I'm talking about. And your experience is not the same as this woman's. And your experience is not the same as mine. But our Lord is the same. And you can remember a time in your life when God became real in your soul. And when the sweet Holy Spirit touched you. And you, like this woman, felt it in your life. Somebody said, oh, you're not saved because you feel it. And that is right. You're not saved because you feel it. But I wouldn't trust a salvation that I couldn't feel it. Amen. That's exactly right. I don't always feel it. But friend, if you ain't never felt it, I'd be very, very unconcerned. Very concerned about that. What a country preacher in Alabama said if he had a salvation he couldn't feel, he'd swap it off for a mule and then shoot the mule. Amen. Thank God. I mean, saved folks have got something in their lives that they can feel. And this woman felt it. And not only did she feel it, but the Lord felt it. Amen. When he touches you and you touch him, and my friend, there'll be a connection to place, and y'all feel it, and y'all testify about it.
Amen. Wonder why immediately when she touched him and she felt it and she was healed and he asked, I wonder why immediately she didn't testify. Notice what happens. Straightway, the blood's dried up in verse 29. Immediately, Jesus feels it and asks in verse 30. And yet there's time for the disciples to interrogate him about this.
And this time for him to look around, and he had to catch eye contact with her and look right down on her before she ever said anything. And then finally, even then, she comes fearing and trembling before the Lord. Wonder why she didn't testify right away. I wonder, friend, listen, I don't know precisely why, but I've got a feeling of a few reasons why, and I want to mention them and see if you can relate to them this morning. Maybe it's a reason why sometimes we don't testify, but as surely as it didn't get ultimately in this woman's way, it shouldn't get into our way. And we ought to tell somebody what Jesus has done for us. Maybe why she didn't testify was because of her record. Amen. She had had 12 years of suffering with this disease. It was a sickness. It was one of shame. It was one without the Savior. Oh, friend, what she had was considered to be unclean by the Jews. And she was to wait until the days of her purification was accomplished before she could gather amongst the congregation and worship with the rest again. She wasn't to touch anybody else unless she would defile them with that which was in her life. Oh, friend, but normally, 5, 6, 7 days at the most, and that this fellowship could be restored. But for 12 years, this woman had been out of fellowship with God and out of fellowship with His people. Do you know what it is to be on the outside? Not to have God working in your life. Not to feel worthy to be amongst the congregation. And not to be fit to be among God's people. To look around in the church and say, not only do they think they're better than me, but I think they're better than me. And not to feel fit to be in the house of God. To certainly be unworthy to be in the presence of the Lord. And this woman had a record. And she had a past. And she was ashamed of it.
That's right. To tell them, if she had testified to all them, everybody would know that she had been in their presence while considered unclean. And she was afraid some of them would get her, would be angry at her for defiling them, and maybe even be angry at her for defiling Jesus, their master right there in the midst of them. And she touched him. She touched Jesus. She's supposed to be touching nobody. And she touched Jesus. Of course, here's the thing about it. You don't take a clean sock and put it in a dirty hamper and make all the other clothes clean. Doesn't work that way. But you can take a dirty sock and put it in the clean sock drawer and make all the clean socks stink. Amen. That's exactly right. And clean things coming in contact with unclean don't clean the unclean. But unclean coming in contact with clean and does dirty the clean. But it don't work that way with the Lord. You don't have to worry when you bring Him your sin, your uncleanness. You don't have to worry about it nastying Him up. And my friend, He'll take in us all of our sin into His own body on the tree, and He put them to death, and then He was resurrected. And my friend, the likeness to which one day we shall be. Oh, my friend, thank God. He's the only thing who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean thing. And she didn't have to worry about defiling Him. But her touching Him has made her whole.
Amen. She wondered, how is this going to work? If she testified, everybody would know. If she told, her personal problem would become public. You ever had something you just soon nobody else know about? You just soon you kept between you and the Lord. By the way, that's all right. There's some things it's okay for you to keep between you and the Lord. There's been a few meetings I've been in where folks have testified and they've told some stuff, and
they've confessed their faults one to another. And I just assume they've not been quite as specific with it as what they were. You know what I'm talking about. I mean, they didn't have to tell me everything. I was satisfied if they could just tell the Lord. I didn't need to know all the gruesome details. Oh, friend, but hey, she realized if she is going to testify, how she could salt soak this, how she could put pretty words on it, how she could be as chaste and as modest as possible, and it's still going to be embarrassing for her. I tell you, sin is shameful. The results of sin is shameful. And my friend, she told others that realize and be reminded of her shortcomings. Satan uses this so often. He tries to take your record and make you so ashamed you can't even serve God. Make you so ashamed you can't live for God. He says not to ever let people know who and what you used to be. But Jesus is looking around this morning and he's seeking somebody who'll tell others what they used to be and what Jesus has done in them.
Amen.
And it stings. It hurts our pride. Isn't that right? To stand up and say like Paul, before I was a blasphemer, I was injurious, I was the chief of sinners. But this is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came in the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. You see, I was a sinner, but I'm saved by grace. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Oh, when John Newton lost his mind and dementia set in and he got to his latter years, he couldn't even quote the words to his own song, Amazing Grace. How when folks had asked him what he remembered about his days when he first got saved, about his days when he'd been the master, the captain of an old slave ship, he said, I don't recall a lot, and my mind is bad, but there's so much I do know. Whereas I am a great sinner, he is a great Savior. Oh, friend, somebody ought to testify. Amen. And I don't know about you, I intend in my life for that somebody to be me.
Amen. Amen.
That's right. A purpose that somebody would be me. That maybe why she wouldn't testify was her record. Maybe the reason she wouldn't testify was others' reaction. She was concerned what people would think about her. I mean, verse 31 said there's a crowd there. All the multitude thronging him. He was asking who touched him. Whoever answered had to be willing to do so without being overwhelmed by all the people that were watching. What will people think of me? How will they react? What will they say? She wasn't even certain that Jesus had what Jesus would say. She didn't know he was going to answer her like he did in verse 34. He could have rebuked her and said, lady, you don't have no business of being down here. And she didn't know what the reaction would be. Oh, friend, but listen, I never base a decision to tell what Jesus has done for you on the kind of reaction you expect or hope to get. Oh, friend, you never really know what the Lord will accomplish in you if you will just testify and tell what Jesus did. You cannot control the way it'll be received. You cannot control how people will accept the message. You cannot control what others will think. The folks you thought were going to be glad you got saved, they didn't even care. The people you thought would be mad, they were happy. The folks that you thought would hate you because of it, it wasn't long they got in there with you and got saved too. I mean, if you'll just testify, it'll surprise you the reactions you'll get. Some of them won't be easy to accept. Some of them will be hard to deal with. But testify anyway and tell what Jesus did. You know what really matters?
is Jesus' answer to her. I'm not real sure what the rest of this crowd told her. The Bible don't record it. But I know what Jesus said. And by the way, you know why it doesn't record what the rest of them said? Because it don't make no difference. Amen. What the rest of them said. Amen. Oh, friend, what matters is what Jesus says about it. I mean, quit worrying about the reaction of the crowd. Quit worrying about what everybody else thinks about things and testify for Jesus. I mean, friend, hey, one of the greatest days in a preacher's life is when he quits preaching for the crowd. When he quits preaching for people and starts preaching for God. And you see, long as you're preaching for the crowd, if they don't say amen, it upsets you. If nobody prays, it bothers you. If you don't get response, it depresses you. If people turn against you, it'll nearly run you out of ministry. But when you stop preaching for the crowd and start preaching for Jesus, then all that matters is what He says.
Amen.
Last night, I had more voice than what I got today, and I had a microphone. I may need one of them before I get done today. Amen. But I had the 300 or so men in that congregation last night. And some of them was cussing me while I was preaching. And I had to preach over it and through it. But the Lord help me now, Brother Bob. If I'd have gone down there to preach for them, I'd have been in a sad way on the way home now, wouldn't I? I'd have been pretty depressed. I'd have had my tail between my legs. Like an old dog has done been scorned. Amen. Oh, but friend, instead, I was able to come home with peace in my heart because I didn't go down there to preach for them. I went to preach to them. I went preaching for Him. Amen. And when you quit doing what you do for people and start doing it for God, what'll matter to you is what He says.
Amen.
Never do what you do because of the reaction you expect or hope to get. Why won't somebody testify the record? The reaction. I want to say the reluctance. She was afraid. She was apprehensive. But she came fearing and trembling in verse 33. And she told Him all the truth. Somewhere in there, I think she was confessing sin. Somewhere in there, I believe she was expressing how that she had some doubts. Somewhere in there, I believe she was telling that crowd, I'd have said something earlier, but I was scared in front of all of you. Somewhere in there, she was sharing her fear over the whole situation. Everything she told was not flattering to her. Oh, and she was even reluctant to tell it. But she told Him all the truth.
Amen.
You really want God to use you? Be honest about it. Come clean before God. Come clean before people. Quit putting on a dog before everybody. That's what my daddy calls it, putting on a dog. I don't always have to have your mask on for everybody to see what you want to pretend to be and let everybody see what you really are. You know that woman stood there and she said to all of them, folks, hey, I'm not even supposed to be here. I'm not worthy to be in your presence. I've showed up unannounced. I've showed up in this place and I know I'm not wanted. I'm scared of all of you, and all of you is better than what I am, and I know that. And this man Jesus is here. There's some reservation in my heart that maybe He might not even be able to help me. Everybody else has done what they could, and it's not enough. And I've been in a mess, and I'm so embarrassed and so ashamed. But I touched His clothes and said I was made whole, and it did work in my life. And I do love Him and He's my Lord. Oh, my, hey. Have you ever noticed the more often you testify, the more firmly you testify, the more zeal with which you testify, the less fear you have of testifying? I mean, friend, what we need to do is just testify. Just tell somebody. Just be a witness. Just let folks know what Jesus did for us. Somebody said, but I don't know the scriptures. I don't have them memorized. I don't see where she quoted one verse. But she told him all the truth. The Apostle Paul, Brother Jeff said this morning, I believe he said right, was the greatest preacher of the New Testament. That's right. Wrote more of the New Testament than any other individual writer. The Apostle Paul. He was God's apostle to the Gentiles. And he was an apostle born at a due season. He had enough credentials to, my friend, line up pins and medals on his chest so long he could trip over them. I mean, he had been a member of the Sanhedrin court, spoke 11 languages. I mean, friend, he knew how to work with educated men and uneducated. He had stood on his own two feet, made his own living while he preached, had to travel missionary journeys all around the Mediterranean Sea, and planted church in one place and another. Has suffered immeasurably for the cause of Christ. Oh, my friend. And yet when he stood before King Agrippa and he said, answer for yourself, he didn't tell him about all of those things. He said, I was on my way down to Damascus when I met this man called Jesus. He didn't quote scriptures. He didn't tell him about the sacrifices of the Old Testament, his vast knowledge of the law. He just told him all the truth. You ought to know the word, but you haven't got to memorize it to testify. You just have to be able to tell what Jesus did for you. And by the way, when you get to heaven, you won't be shouting over all the scriptures you memorized and all the soul winning classes you got good marks in. Amen. And how many folks you talked into repeating the sinner's prayer, gave them a tract, told them they were on their way to heaven, and you knew good and well God wasn't in the middle of all of that. Somebody say amen to that right there. That's exactly right. But I tell you what we'll be singing about when we get there. He has redeemed us of every nation, of every kindred, of every tongue, of every tribe. Amen. Oh, friend, we'll still be singing when we get over there about what God did for us. Today we got saved. If it's good enough to tell about for all eternity, it's good enough to tell about why we're yet here. And somebody ought to testify. The reluctance. She got honest with God, and I'm closing with this. Notice the reason she ought to testify. Verse 34, and he said unto her, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Jesus was looking for somebody to testify. And she did. I wonder if Jesus is looking for somebody to testify today. Would you be able to say, and I did. I testified today. I told somebody about what Jesus did for me. I let my little light shine in the darkness of this old world that don't know God. He reminds her in this verse, she had plenty of reasons to testify. I mean, daughter, he didn't call her stranger. He didn't call her some oddball woman. He didn't call her a dog or a heathen. He called her a daughter. Amen. What about that? I'm so glad he calls me son and I call him father. Amen. That's the reason. Reason to testify. Thy faith hath made thee whole. That's reason to testify. Oh, thank God. Go in peace. That's reason to testify. Be whole of thy plague. Don't worry over the things. And don't worry over the things that stop you from telling the story. Things are different now. Be at peace. Tell the world what Jesus has done. Why won't somebody testify? There's plenty of reasons for you to testify and to tell others what Jesus did for you. Do you remember the day the Lord saved your soul? Do you remember the time He washed his guilt away. Do you remember the time he took away that old heavy burden and moved into your life and made you a new creature, and you failed to pull that hour, and you hadn't been perfect, if you like me, every day since then? But thank God I've been perfected every day since then. Amen. And he's working on me even still and making me every day more like him. And I'm still not fit to stand in the congregation, in the tabernacle, in the presence of the Lord. But I'm more grateful today than ever to have the privilege of doing this. And I want my life to be a living testimony of what Jesus has done in me. Can you sing, "Lord, prepare me to be a testimony"? Sanctuary, that'll work. Tried and true. Yes. Come around and sing for us this morning. Oh, while she's coming, I wanted to give her a second to get her words together in her mind there. Been a, I don't know, 15 years since I had her sing it. And I put her on the spot right this second. Remember that this story I'm preaching about this morning is sandwiched in the middle of Jairus and his pursuit to get help for his sick and dying 12-year-old daughter. Just before verse 25, he's sought the Lord and said, "My little daughter lieth at the point of death." I can't think of being in much more of a desperate situation than that, where your little girl lies at the point of death and he's seeking the help of the Lord. And while right in the middle of this, and by the way, he said, "I pray thee, come and lay hands on her that she may be healed," and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And it seemed like Jairus is trying to carry Jesus and drag him out of town, and that he must have been frustrated at the crowd and thought, "If we don't get there, it'll be too late. If we don't get these people to leave Jesus alone, it'll be too late." And then this woman shows up in our account, and she interrupts Jesus on his way to Jairus' house. And this woman had suffered with an issue of blood for the same number of years that Jairus' daughter had been alive. I believe Jesus wanted Jairus to hear this woman testify. When she testified, Jairus, the next verse, verse 35, "While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house a certain that said, 'And thy daughter's dead. Why troublest thou the master any further?'" It's too late now, Jairus. And soon as Jesus heard the words that was spoken, he said unto the ruler of the synagogue, "Be not afraid." And he suffered no man to follow him, save Peter and James and John. And he come to the house, and he saw the multitude and the tumult. And he said, "The girl's asleep, and I'll wake her up." And Jairus believed God. I wonder, would he have believed Jesus had he never heard this testimony? Would he believe Jesus had he never heard from this woman? Oh, I believe Jesus allowed this woman to interrupt right in the miracle of Jairus' daughter to give Jairus a faith and to have a miracle in his home. You never know whose miracle depends on your testimony.
Amen.
You never know whose life depends on your testimony. And the Lord's standing here this morning saying, "Who touched my clothes? Who is it that knows what it's like for the burden to be rolled away? Would you tell somebody what I've done for you?" Somebody, he's saying, would you speak up? Jairus needs a word from the Lord. Jairus needs an example. Jairus needs a strength in his faith. I tell you, somebody may leave a church service refreshed and renewed and able to live for God because you testify.
Amen.
Why won't somebody testify? I wonder this morning, why won't you testify? Stand your feet this morning. If you need to get to Master's feet, touch His clothes. You need a work in your life. If you've never been saved by God's grace, I'd ask you to come. If you're saved this morning, but you know down in your heart you hadn't been the testimony you ought to be. You want God to reside in you, as it were, a sanctuary for the Lord to live in you, and then to come forth from you and to show others His presence in your life. I'd invite you to come while she sings this morning. If you need to pray, find your place and talk to the Lord. Sing when you're ready.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary.
Wow, won't somebody testify?
Pure and holy.
Try and true. Amen.
With thanksgiving.
I'll volunteer. It was me that He touched. Amen.
For you, Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy.
Oh yes.
Tried and true.
Live in my life and through my life.
With thanksgiving.
Thanking Him for everything.
I'll be
praising Him for what He does in our lives.
Sanctuary for you. Lord, prepare me.
Do you desire it in your soul?
Sanctuary.
Do you desire it in your life?
Pure and holy. Tried and true.
Somebody ought to testify.
With thanksgiving.
And if the Lord will help me, that somebody will be me.
I'll be a living.
I'll volunteer.
Sanctuary.
I'll testify. I'll tell others. I'll show others. I'll let my life demonstrate the work of God in me. Amen.
I'll be a living sanctuary for you.
Amen. Amen. Sing a verse of that shelter in the arms of God.
I feel the touch of hands so kind.
You ever felt His touch? He touched my clothes. She said, I gotta tell it. It was me. It was me.
Hallelujah.
Intimidating that big crowd. It's a hard sometimes to just be vocal and open. But I have no fear. Sheltered in the arms of God. Amen. Let the storm rage high.
For I'm sheltered.
wonder if you obeyed the Lord this morning, done what the good Holy Ghost have you to do in this meeting.